passion. Come and die so you can be reborn. Hear the sirens sing, hear the death knell ring. She's a witch, siren and the vampire. She has come.
Different of a format, I suppose. That was Incubus Succubus, and the song was called Lilith. And today's episode, I bring you the Neverborn, and with it, Lilith and her crew. Now, I'm not going to go into much of anything I've done lately, because I just posted, and you guys should pretty much know that. Check me out on ethervox.com. Check out the guys at ethervox.com. You can check out the guys from the Etherbox. I'm Sean Hammer, but you probably already know that too. So let's go ahead and go into the Lilith crew that I'm going on. A little bit of a... I'm just going to go through everything. Then I got an interesting two-part conversation with Bill from the Gamers Lounge. First half is on Sean Hammer. Second half is on Gamers Lounge, so you have to go check that out there. Okay, well, I picked up Lilith and her crew by accident. Well, not by accident. A friend of mine ordered it. Didn't pick it up. I did, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit. So, let's go on what comes in a box set. Of course, you have Lilith. You have three Teratots and a mature Nephilim. Not much. although, and the crew doesn't seem to work by itself out of the box. I mean, it could, but I would... really suggest you pick up some mature Nephilim to go with it. And okay, so we're running in. We got Lilith. She is a beast for one. Let's start there. She's running with a 6 walk, 9 charge, 2 hit, 6 willpower, 5 casting, 8 defense, and willpower 10 or wounds 10. She's got range of 2 inches with a greatsword. CB7 and 3-4-6 damage. Now she's pretty cool. I mean, as for her sculpt and stuff, it's she's a pretty sweet model. She kind of reminds me kind of the old video game Darkstalkers. There's a Succubus model on that game. She kind of reminds me of that. So, let's see. For talent, she has Black Blood, and this is whenever she takes a hit in close combat, the whoever's within 1 inch of her, they take damage. She got Russian Magic. She can draw an additional control card in the draw phase, but she has to discard down to your crew's maximum size. She is the Master of Malifaux. This model ignores train when moving or drawing a line of sight. She's got Weapons, Great Sword. Damage flips, receive a +1 to the flip. Pretty sweet. And she's also Wicked, and just not in terms of the model itself or her stats. She has, for actions fast, she has Broodmother. Friendly Nephilim within 6 inches receive companion to Lilith. Drain blood. This model may immediately use the action after killing a living model. Gains 1 blood counter. Blood from stone. You discard 2 soul stones. For every 2 you discard, you get 1 blood counter. Whirling Death. Discard a control card immediately. Makes a great sword strike against every model within 2 inches. Triggers. Pretty cool. She's got Disappearing Bloody Fate. Spells. She's got alluring. That's pretty nice. Enemy non-Neverborn models receive a +2 defense and cannot charge this model until the end of the closing phase. She got Earthquake, Transposition, which is 2 models when the range switch play. So I mean, that's just not Neverborn models. That's any 2 models in that. You hear on my discussion with Bill that he's got a little nasty trick with that, and she's also got the Illusionary Force. This allows you to place 1 piece of terrain no larger than 3x3 completely within range of her 12. And she can ignore the forest movement. Nephilim can. And remains in play again until it's cast. I mean, pretty strong master. Soulstone cache of 4. Great melee potential. I mean, just as I would say, I've only played her a couple times, and I gotta admit, my first time I was kind of, not jaded, but spoiled. 9 charge, ran across the table. I hit Nino Ortega. Red Jokered it. Severe damage on top of that. Dead Nino. It's a beautiful thing, and I fell in love with the model ever since. Now, in the crew comes 3 Terror Tots. Now, these are little baby demons slash fallen angels called Nephilim. You know, 3 points apiece. Walk 5, charge 8, hit 1, willpower 5, casting 5, defense 6, wounds 4. They have claws with a 1-3-4 damage and a CB5. They have the black blood as well. They have brood. When this model is killed, off-friendly Nephilim within 6 inches and line of sight of it may immediately walk towards model that killed it. It's pretty cool because you can kind of bait people to kill your Terratons to get you out there Nephilim up, but it's kind of pricey to do it for 3 soul stones apiece. They have scout, the drain blood, triggers with flay, but the most important thing that they have is what's called grow. It's a can cost 4. Well, it gets 2 masks. And this model or 1 friendly Nephilim within 6 inches discards 1 blood counter. Replace the model with a young Nephilim. This is where you're going to have to buy 2 young Nephilim so you can do the next trick. And they got sprint. And so that's pretty cool. Next up we have the young Nephilim for 6 points. You can either start the game with these, or you could upgrade your Terror Tots during the game if you're feeling of doing what they call a grow list. They have the Black Blood, Flight, Diving Attack, which is pretty cool. The model charges an enemy, ignoring line of sight, train, and intervening models. If the charge fails, you end this activation. They have the Drain Blood, and they have Melee Expert. They have a Walk 5, Charge 9, Hit Height 2, Willpower 5, Casting 5, Defense 5, 7 wounds, a CB of 6 with 2, 4, 5 damage. Now, they also have Mature, which allows you to do the same thing, but with discarding 2 blood counters, you can go into a Mature Nephilim. Now, this guy's the beast. He's beautiful, until next to some models, that is. But he's running a Walk 6, Charge 10, 3 height, 6 willpower, 6 casting, 4 defense, 10 wounds. Range of 2 for his pair of claws, CB of 6, and damage 4, 5, and 6. He's got armor 1, black blood, flight, terrifying 12. He's got the diving attack, drain blood, melee expert, and wing buffet. It's pretty cool. Models, 4 models are melee pushed 3 inches director away from his model. This is the one I like. He's got knock aside. This will be on his to hit. After hitting enemy defender with a pair of claws strike, inflict no damage, but push the defender up to 4 inches, charge another model within range. This is pretty cool if you don't have enough range to get to, you know, the master hiding behind his minions or whatever. And you can, like, trying to, you know, get this to hit, move forward. Up we have Rip in Half. After killing enemy model with a pair of claws strike, all models within 6 inches immediately make a willpower duel 11. And it's got carry. It can basically carry another model. Plus, the model's pretty sweet. So that's pretty much it for the Nephilim, minus the totems. And I don't do a lot of totems right now and everything. So we will go ahead and that's about it for out of the first book. We'll take a short little break and we'll come back from the Rising Powers. And we'll discuss what new goodies came out for the Neverborn in the form of Nephilim and what they have there. So I'll talk to you in a moment. Well, that's a pretty short and painless break, wasn't it? Computer still being a freaking fuckhole. And, not happy with it at all. So, let's go ahead and, go into the Rising Powers book. First up, we have the Black Blood Shaman. Pretty unique looking, model itself. It's pretty cool. I picked one up. He's a Grave Robber, Nephilim, Rare 2. This guy's kind of weird. He's got a 1-1 damage and 1 blast. 5 walk, no charge. 2 height, willpower 5, casting 6, defense 4, wounds 8. This guy's got a whole mess of freaking shit that you wouldn't guess deals with Black Blood. Let's see, he's got Black Blood, Blood from the Dead, Blood Senses, Ride Nephilim. He's got the Virtual Nice Poison 3, which is nice. He's Instinctual. He's got Blood and Air. So he's pretty cool. I'm not going to go through this guy a lot, but he's in the Rising Power book because I want to save some room for the next. For the goody. Okay, now in this book, we have three goodies. First one is Lilu. This is a 7 soul stone cost, Nephilim, Nightmare, Rare 2, Woe. Wow. I'll tell you what. He's got Claws, CB5, 235 for damage, Vampire Bite, 1 range, 7 CB, 1, 2, 3, 4 damage. He's got Black Blood, he's got the Bond Elite 2, which we'll get to in a minute. He's got Flight, Regeneration 2. Let's see, he's got same malignant force, twisted thoughts, and this is non-neverborn models when the two of this suffer two wounds when it was in the resolve step, so that's kind of weird. Two-sided, during the resolve effect step, the model suffers three wounds if there's no friendly Lilitu models in play. He's got paired claws, poison two. He's got the vampiric bite, which they receive a +1 while this model has 5 or less wounds. His melee expert, he's got Drain Blood. I mean, he's got Drink Blood, Punish Me. I was just like, I mean, this guy, and he could even summon a Lilitu. So these are what people are calling the twins out there. So if you ever hear on another podcast when they talk about the twins. But I got them. Just because they're cool. I hope I can do justice on the Lilitu model when I paint her, too. She's pretty cool. She's got a whip. She's got a 5 walks, 8 charge, height 2, willpower 5, casting 6, defense 6, wound 7. She's got a range 4 with CB5 and 1, 2, 4 damage. She's got the Black Blood, Bond Lilitu, Dark Bloody. She gets +2 casting when casting, channeling lure, float irresistible. She's a sadist. She's got the same malignant force. I'm gonna fucking butcher that. Jesus Christ. Twisted thoughts, same thing. But this is friendly. Neverborn models within 2 inches heal 2 while wounds in the resolve step. So, let's see. Yep. Thoughts twisted was Lilu, and Lilitu's twisted thoughts. She's wicked. So she can attack you when you're trying to break away. Casting expert, Drain Blood. She got Emperor Thoughts as one of her spells. I mean, summon Lilu and Lure. So, I mean, pretty snazzy. I mean, you're going to see these, unfortunately, you're going to see these in Lilith Cruise running Nephilim. You're going to see these in Pandora Cruise, unfortunately, as well, running Insidious Madnesses. And Pandora's going to pull on you. And, unfortunately, you can see these probably running around with a Dreamer, too, since they're also Nightmares. So, good luck to everybody. But last but not least, and this is why, and this is for the song I'll be playing at today's episode, as the one I played last week was Danzig's Under Her Black Wings. And this song is for Nakima, the Dark Sibling. Hefty 13 Soul Stone with 6 walk, 10 charge, 3 height, 6 willpower, 4 casting, 4 defense, 12 wounds. She got a Neverborn Greatsword with 3 inch range, a CB7, a 3, 4, 6 for damage. She has Black Blood, Black Senses, whenever a model's killed within 3 inches, model gain 1 blood counter, and Rage by Insolence. If a Nephilim within 8 inches in line of sight of this model is killed by any enemy model, this model may push up to 4 inches directly towards that enemy model. This ability has no effects if the Teratot was killed instead. She's got Flight and Irresistible 2. 12, 2, 1, 2. She's got Nephilim Princess. An area effect of 6 inches. Nephilim models gain regeneration 1. She's got Nurture Nephilim. Friendly Nephilim within 10 inches of this model receive a +4 CA when casting or channeling Grow or Mature. So this is going to make your sick little girl list happen, and not only is it going to make it happen better, it's going to have a big old beat stick on top of Lilith to smash you in the face. We have Regeneration 1, Terrible Beauty, 6-inch bubble. Enemy models gain -2 willpower in duels as the defender. I see Insidious Madness link on this. You get the Neverborn Great Sword after final duel totals are determined, but before triggers activated, its model may add any one suit to the duel total. This weapon's damage flips also receive a plus. Nasty. She's instinctual, melee expert. She got blood offering. She suffers 4 wounds. She can gain 1 blood counter. She's got growth spurt. Non-master Nephilim gain flight. Nephilim heart. All non-master Nephilim receive a +1 to mass when they're selected statistic. Spill black blood. Inflict up to 6 wounds on this model or target friendly Nephilim with black blood within 3 inches. Non-neverborn models may within 1 of their models suffer 1 wound for every 2 wounds suffered. And she's got triggers. That's just off her actions. Triggers is Bloody Fate, Throw Aside, Meat for the Young, Rip in Half. And I'm going to read Meat for the Young. I haven't been really going off on triggers, but I like this one. After hitting enemy model, inflict no damage, push the defender up to 6 inches directly toward a friendly Nephilim within 10. So, you know, it's pretty cool, you know. You got your mature Nephilim happening. You can chuck them aside and stuff. And most importantly, for you people out there, Nakima is a beautiful model. She's a pain in the ass to glue together, but beautiful nevertheless. So that's just my quick rundown on Lilith. I was going to go over Tactica, but I believe I'd go a little bit over that with Bill from the Gamers Lounge, so why beat a, you know, why beat a dead horse, I suppose. So we're going to stop that here. I'll do a quick little break. I think this might be a break this time. I'm not sure. Then we'll get into interview with Bill from the Gamers Lounge. And I'm going to kill the episode after that. So, you know, well, actually, I'll probably add to the end. So talk to you in a little bit.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Hey, I'm Luke.
And I'm JJ.
And we're the guys from World's End Radio. When we're not playing games
or lying to our wives about it,
then we're going to the ends of the earth to bring you the latest content on all aspects of the Games Workshop hobby.
And a few other worlds besides.
So come find us at www.worldsendradio.com.
Or subscribe to the show through iTunes.
Of guest host at the imperialtruth.blogspot.com.
I'm doing fantastic. I'm on Sean Hammer. and you're speechless.
I am speechless. So this is a heck of a busy time, gamers. Everyone knows we have Games Day and Adepticon.
Games Day and Gen Con, right?
What have you been up to, Bill? Yep.
To tell you the truth, it has been a hell of a month for me, but I am getting ready for Gen Con right now. I, due to some family stuff going on, I had to cancel my family trip to over to the UK, which was really sad for my family, and my wife, being the saint she is, said, "You seem really stressed. Why don't you go out to Gen Con for 4 days? And de-stress." And I thought that was a brilliant idea. So she has earned sainthood, and I'm going to game for 4 days.
Well, that is good. Tanya, I know you listen to this. Bill's wife's got it right.
Exactly.
All right, Bill, can you go ahead and share with us who you are and, you know, talk about Gamers Launch a little bit?
Absolutely. So, wow, who am I? I'm just a guy who plays games. But a couple of years back, a friend of mine who used to be my co-host on the Gamers Lounge, basically he and I got in this deep-seated, just heated argument around 40K and line of sight and tournament play. And after probably 6 hours of, I don't want to say drag out beatdown, because anybody who sees Jay knows that he's reminiscent of the giant from the Warhammer Fantasy kit, except I think he makes the giant look small. So he's kind of scary. He's kind of a scary guy. Nice guy, but scary. And we realized that everything kind of boiled down to sportsmanship. And we were both incredibly heated because we really viewed the game around sportsmanship, even though we were playing in semi-competitive settings. So, you know, with that, Jay made the comment, well, I wish we could get sort of our opinions out there wider. And me being a tech guy, I went, well, we could start a podcast. So, you know, the way I like to say it on a couple of things, we just happened to be the two idiots with the microphone, and he kind of felt that podcasting had become a little too much work. You know as well as I do, Sean, podcasting is tiring, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm the idiot with the microphone, and I just keep talking and bringing in new co-hosts. And, you know, apparently people like to listen, so I'm just going to keep going for a while.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Look, I don't listen to myself, so I don't know why other people do.
You know, I have not listened to one of my episodes either.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it makes it a lot easier. You don't feel bad. You don't worry about editing. You know, you just sort of throw them out there. So, but yeah. So, you know, it's been fun. I got a blog. That's where everything started. I now got the podcast, and I fell in love with Malifaux about this time last year. You know, the middle of summer last year.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I've moved further and further progressively away from GW games, which, you know, GW hasn't exactly stopped that with their different practices and how they're conducting business and the models they're releasing and things like that. Meanwhile, Weird has done an incredible job. Weird Miniatures has done an incredible job of pushing this new game. And That sort of came full circle. I became a henchman. You mentioned that you're painting up your second crew. Became a henchman in my local area, Northern Virginia, and kind of jumped in with both feet. And that sort of brings us to, you know, where I am now.
Oh, cool. So being a henchman, I mean, you know, what do people have to look forward to as build a henchman?
Oh, man. See, so my wife says that I suck at Malifaux. Because I end up at these tournaments. We talked about this on one of my episodes. I end up at these tournaments. I love watching new people come into this game. And I really do believe that Malifaux has a lot to offer from a game. Just from the game perspective. There's a lot of reasons people have really grabbed onto this game. And, you know, from a balance perspective to the combos that you can get between your crews and your models to, you know, just a whole host, beyond just the fact that they're beautiful models that they have out there and the creativity and sort of humor that's built into the rules, the models, and everything else. So I will typically run into a new player in a tournament, and I just don't have the heart in a tournament not to spend time teaching those new players how to play, even if it's in the middle of a tournament, especially, apparently, when it's to my detriment playing. So next thing I know, I'll turn around at the end of a round and go, well, damn, I just lost. I mean, the guy loves the game now, but I just lost. I got a bunch of room to make up in the tournament now.
So if anyone's out there playing Bill in the tournament, they can say, oh, you know, this is my first game in Malifaux.
And I'm done. Yeah, pretty much. I suck at Malifaux, so.
So Bill is Bill's kryptonite, is what you're saying.
So, but yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I've run a lot of demos. I've put together sort of different levels of demo, everything from the full game that, you know, some people want to see down to here's two models on the table. Let me just show you the basics of the game.
Okay.
you know, I have some demo crews I really like running, and then I am just, I've been incredibly passionate about the game, and I think that's drawn a lot of people in. And, you know, you've talked about this. Think about the departure when you started. You know, how shocking was it not to grab a set of dice and roll dice when you started playing?
Well, I played a lot of Doomtown, the card game.
Okay.
So I was okay with that, but what got me is the, I'm still grasping with triggers. That's the big thing for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're kind of like, well, I really hate to say it this way, but while I'll probably get beat up by the guys at Weird, triggers are kind of like interrupts are for Magic the Gathering.
Yep.
Right? Stop everything. I'm going to do my trigger, and now we're going to keep moving on. And it's funny, because order of resolution of effects has... That's one of the things I noticed. When you first start out in Malifaux, there's a couple of things that we've been flagging in our local community as sort of graduation points or gates, if you will, to Malifaux skill. Right? The brand new player starts out, he throws some models down on the table, and he's working out basic things. You know, when do I use my AP? How does walking work? How does shooting work? How does melee work? And then at some point along the way, you see the first gate happen, which is you watch somebody cheat out of their hand a lower card or hold the black joker in their hand. You see them start to see the relation between the cards that are in their hand and the game as a whole, and they start making decisions at that level. And that's usually the level where I look at guys and go, you're no longer a newbie. You're a new player. You're not a newbie. Start painting your damn models now. Right? And then sort of the next one is that order of resolution. That's sort of the, you know, when you start getting into the mid-level of the game, from what I, in my experience, you start worrying about how does the order of resolution work? How, you know, if my triggers go off, how does that interact with slow to die? How does that... And those are the types of things that I think are probably the most complicated parts of the game. Okay. Is, you know, if my model has slow to die and your model has slow to die and my model heals when you're removed from play, but you can go bury yourself in the middle of your slow to die action, how does that timing play out?
Yeah.
And then once you work through that, oh man, then it opens up and you can start worrying about strategies and combos and really stringing together these complicated... You know, the more complicated things, and it just adds more and more depth to the game the deeper in you go.
It's quite fun, too, to actually... you can sit there, you can believe you know everything about... Because these cards that the Malifaux pieces come with are so beautiful, so I take them to work once in a while and put them in my shirt pocket when I'm bored and I got a second. You know, I just go up over them so I can, like, memorize.
Yep.
I do that with Magic, and I also do with my HeroClix cards. But, it's just crazy because these different situations during the game, even though you're doing the same triggers, on the it's situational. The situations will open up new meanings to what some of these cards, some of these triggers can do, and I think that's fantastic. And that's the new thing that I had to grasp with as Malifaux being a miniature game was actually the triggers.
And isn't it cool to watch? Like you'll pull off. Almost by mistake, right? You'll end up in a situation, you'll pull off a cool trigger, and you'll be like, oh my god. And then you start going, how the hell did I do that? And how can I make it happen again on purpose?
Yep. That's just like you got a trigger that needs you know, the mask or something. You got one in your hand, you know you're going to get your face beaten anyway. You know?
Yep.
You might as well just play the one because it's a mask and... go with it.
I had a great game. I was playing Rasputina, and one of the little ice golem I had put out front, and my opponent launched. I don't remember who he was playing, but he sent in this one of the melee models of the game that has flurry, and they, you know, he gets it all positioned. He gets into range. He throws away the card to get the flurry, so he's got three attacks coming at me. He attacks the Gommon. He's gonna hit. There's no way I could defend, so I throw a one of books. And I looked at him and went, okay, your activation's over. Yep. He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, your activation's over. You don't get the other attacks. He goes, but I don't understand. I said, oh, here you go. Read my trigger.
It's over.
It's my turn now. Thanks.
Yeah, so, my wife has the Rasputin, and those little gammons suck.
Oh, but have you picked up Snowstorm for her yet?
Not yet. That's hopefully there'll be an order this coming up week when I order myself Puppet Wars.
It is such a pretty model. It's their first resin model.
Okay.
And he's probably, when you put him on his base, he's probably a little bit more Storm, right? Who's the larger? It's not the Snow is the girl, and then Storm is sort of the Wendigo that sits over the top of the girl.
Okay.
The bulk of his model, he's a little over half the size of Nightmare Lord Chompy Bits.
Okay.
So he's this big model, fills up the whole 50mm base. A lot of fun to play. They really updated his card to make him, you know, I think one of the big problems people were worried about with Snowstorm in the book was that he only had 6 wounds. So he's a pretty easy, you know, high point model to take down.
Yeah.
Well, they upped him to 8 wounds. So from range, he's a spirit. He's got 8 wounds. He's got bulletproof. So he is
spirit.
Yeah, so he's really resilient, and he constantly has cover. So you're always at a negative flip shooting at him.
Yeah, he actually cries havoc for the Ortegos right there.
Oh yeah. So, okay, so Sean, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing a little bit of everything I picked up. I've been playing a little bit of Karai, and that's been fun.
Have you liked Karai?
Yeah, I do. I like it for the aesthetic appeal, for one, because I used to play Clan War, and, you know, I got the Japanese look to Malifaux game, so that's pretty cool. And I'm a necromancer at heart, and I didn't want to play a necromancer in this game. So I was like, I'm not raising freaking zombies. I raise spirits, not zombies.
Nice. Yeah, I have the entire... I have a Karai box and probably everything that goes with her, all the way to Jackdaw and the Hanged, sitting downstairs in my box of stuff Bill has yet to paint. Which, you know, is not a small box, unfortunately. but I haven't actually gotten her on the table yet. I've faced her a couple of times in tournaments. I love the kimono. I love the whole look. I like the look of the Saishin. You know, I like the look of her crew.
Yep.
So, but that's pretty good. So if you got Karai, does that mean that you're also a power player? Because she's one of the, you know, she's considered one of the power crews coming out. So,
well, I didn't think, I try not to be. I go with, my big motto is, for my shows, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
Right.
So one of them is, I'm a big aesthetic player. I pick out what really appeals to me look-wise, and sometimes, and it never fails. Every time I pick out something that's cool, it ends up, I base it purely on looks, and it ends up being one of the power things. Well, I was like, seriously?
That's because you're a cheesy git, though, right? I mean, it's fun to win.
I know. And, you know, and it doesn't matter. I've been told I could play, I could glue gummy bears onto bases, and I could still win some games.
Well, see, I need to take some lessons from you, because I told you, my wife says I suck at Malifaux.
Well, that's where the show title, Sean Hammer, comes from, too, is, I just win. I don't mean to. Even when I try and show people, I just win. I try and throw games, and fate's all like, no, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna roll our dice. You know, the gods of fate take over. Like, I tried to throw this one game. I'm not going to say who I was doing against, but I was playing him, and he's always had bad luck playing Clan War. And the big thing with Clan War is if you roll a 10 on the 10-sided dice, you can re-roll it, and you can keep rolling it until you stop rolling 10s.
Okay.
And it adds on to your damage and stuff. So I rolled I cut myself down on attacks and stuff. I should have rolled 15. So I only rolled 5. I only did my front rank. I rolled it. I rolled 4 10s. I rolled 4 10s. I rolled 3 10s. I rolled 2 10s. I rolled 1 10. 1 10. 1 10. And I ended up doing max damage.
Oh,
I should have
just
rolled 15 dice. It just, fate doesn't let me. I don't know what it is. It's my savant power, I guess. Now, if I can only get that to work at Vegas, everything will be great. But yeah, I picked up Cry. She wasn't actually my first crew, though. I picked up the Ortegas on the pure fact that I liked the model Perdido.
Nice.
And I saw it working. I picked up the book, and I went through it a little bit. Now it's just like, I can see myself being able to adjust this crew, being new into the game. I had heard that there's two straightforward crews, one being Lady Justice and the other one being Perdita's gang. And so I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick Perdita. My friend Jason picked Lady Justice, so we went with it. And then that's what I went with. But the model that really got my heart was Baby Cade. He's up on my paint desk, not painted, with no plans of ever being played, but I own him.
Yeah. Pandora can be kind of fun. Baby Cade's a lot of fun.
He is. I'll give you my idea of Baby Cade when I do an interview on your podcast, because I got an idea that I want to run, and I'll remind myself later on that.
Nice.
But I accidentally found my new love, and it's not my beautiful wife, but in Malifaux. A friend of mine wanted to play Lilith, so I had Jeff at the hobby store order up the Lilith box set. And I felt bad because there's a scarcity of no one playing Malifaux yet. And there's a big diversity of games happening because of Games Workshop's prices and what they're doing with everything.
Right.
A lot of people, I mean, it's tough times out there, and when you're not bringing home as much as you used to, then the gaming company you love actually starts, you know, increasing their prices. It's hard to pick up new stuff, so you just focus with what you have. So people were playing, started playing Helderago and War Machine. So I'm trying to push the Malifaux thing. So he ordered Lilith, and a friend of mine did not pick her up. And I felt bad because, well, you know, I got him to order this box set.
Yep.
And, you know, I was thinking, well, Lilith, you know, she could be master for Baby Cade. How more creepy is that, you know? So I picked up this box set, and I found out that this is probably my true Neverborn calling, is Lilith and her Nephilim. Okay. So I picked her up, and I found out that, you know, this Lilith and her demons really play into my play style. And I figured that a little bit more of a power play than Karaya, but I could be wrong.
Now, have you picked up the young Nephilim and all the tidbits that go with her?
Well, I have two young Nephilim. I got the three, I call them tater tots, that came with the box. I have one, well, of course, the one mature Nephilim, which I'll probably pick up another one as my plans go see. Lilitu and Lilu. Because, nice. Why not? And most of all important, her older sister, Nakima.
Now, I gotta give you a little, you know, little secret here. You said, you know, you found your love in Malifaux, which wasn't your lovely wife, but I'm pretty sure you send your lovely wife out to, you know, one of those specialty adult stores to buy the outfit that Lilith is wearing, and you'll be all set.
Well, I could incriminate myself and say we didn't have to go out to the adult store to pick one up.
Nice. So, yeah, so what do you think of Nakima? I just started playing games with Nakima.
She is, well, as for model-wise, she's an amazing-looking model. For game-wise, I will be honest, just by luck has it, I have not had the great amount of luck with her.
Really?
Yep, but she, with a Lilith, just because of pure jealousy of her being on the table, she is performing like nobody's business. I mean, I can't even tell you how much Lilith has been performing. But Nakima also is a big psychological factor playing this game.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll just pick my schemes, and I'll go around where the rest of my crew can do what they want, and I can just make it look like Nakima's going to run across and beat somebody's face in, and they will divert so much attention to her that by the time, you know, we're rolling to in for the game, you know, they're saying, okay, where are we? And I'm like, well, I got all my schemes. He's just like, now, you just spent five turns trying to kill Nakima. But
so, yeah, see, I found that she's a bit of a glass cannon.
Yes.
If she hits you, it's just a bad day. I threw her up against Abuela and against Perdita in one of my recent games. And it was just a bad day for those two. Since I was able to get in and do the attacks right away, she hits like a freight train.
Yes.
Unfortunately, if anybody actually takes the time and can get, you know, hit her back, she goes down like nobody's business.
Sure. Her defense isn't very high, and yeah, she's pretty down there. But one thing I also use her for is beginning a game, first turn, I take her down to half wounds.
Yep. To get the blood.
I had to get the blood, and also, that's another part of the psychological factor that I play. As I announce it as cocky as I can, and as loud as I can, you know, that I'm going down a half wound so I can do this. And so they know that Nikima's a half wound, so that therefore they're diverted the minute that happens.
Nice.
They see easy kill, you know, she's got a great movement on her.
Now, and, have you worked with her in the grow list where you put a couple of desperate mercenaries in and chop them up for baby food for the tots?
No, I haven't. My grow list right now just consists of it's a 25-point scrap. And it's Lilith, Nikima, one Terratot, and two young Niflheim, I think.
So what you might want to take a look at is drop out one, take the youngs down to tots.
Okay.
And use the extra points to put a couple of desperate mercenaries in.
Okay, because I do own one.
Yeah. So basically all that happens is somebody turns around and hits the desperate mercenary down to one. You can do it with Nikima, but you almost want to do it with one of the other Niflheim to kill the desperate mercenary. You have the tot turn around and kill the desperate mercenary. The tot takes a blood token with his ability. Nikima gets a blood token from Blood in the Air. Nikima can cut herself on her turn for the other blood token. So you end up with three blood tokens on the board. And because of Nikima's aura, tots get a tots and youngers get the plus cast to do grow and mature. You have the blood available, so if you have the cards in your hand and Nikima gives out the mask, you can end up potentially with a I think you can go from a tot to a mature on turn one.
Yeah. I see. I was wondering that. That's one of my two questions I have that I had to ask myself. How can I get a mature Niflheim on turn one? And second of all, for some odd reason, I wasn't thinking if you matured a tot into a young Niflheim that you could, in fact, mature the young Niflheim into a mature Niflheim.
Yeah,
I didn't know you could chain them.
I have to check my card, but I'm pretty sure mature, which is what the young has, is a one action.
Okay.
And I think it uses two blood. Now, I don't know that for sure, so I'm sure you're going to get all sorts of... See, this is on your podcast, so you're going to get a bunch of bad email saying, Bill doesn't know what he's talking about.
I want bad mail. I have not gotten any bad mail. I figure I work best under stress, and what's the best stress for your podcaster besides bad mail? I've got none, so I love you all.
I'm pretty sure you can, because when you summon the young, he's slow, but he still has a one action when he activates. So he just matures into, you know, the mature Niflheim, and then, yeah, that's kind of scary, especially in a 25-point list, to end up with one or two mature Niflheims after turn two.
Isn't it hot?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. In the book, the mature Niflheim did nothing for me for picture-wise, because I didn't like the paint job on it. I know, I'm sorry, forever painted that by work, but I don't really care for that. But my demons have to be red.
Okay. So
I put them together, and I was like, this guy is badass. Then I glued together Nikima, and I was like, God, now you look like a Terratot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So...
So that's basically where I've been going with Lilith. I figured, you know, growing the Niflheim, running her as a beat stick, and like I said, I've just been having incredible luck with Lilith. It's not even funny. One of my other things I want to do is Lilith can do the Illusionary Forest as her spell, and I'm trying to get it where, because I love the M. Night Shyamalan movie, Lady in the Water.
Oh, yeah.
and they have the Skrunts. Well, and for the Doppelgangers, I mean, not the Doppelgangers, Neverborns, you can get a thing of Wygeist.
Yep.
Thing else for them. And they look exactly like the Skrunts from Lady in the Water. And they got all this stuff where they're part of the forest, with a haunted forest and stuff. So I'm trying to get sneaky, sneaky with my Lilith, but I think it's just probably a waste of time. I don't know.
I don't know. I've had some good success with Illusionary Forest. And then, you know, the other thing, I don't know if you've tried this yet. Have you played around with Transposition?
No, not so much.
So next time you play a game, watch the board. Keep a Tot near you, right? And put the Tot next to Lilith and Nakima. And then keep them close by within, you know, 2 to 3 inches. And watch for the opportunity to hit one of their models with Transposition against your Tot.
Oh.
and you know, whoop, they switch places, and now Nakima and Lilith are like, hey, look at you.
You know, you may always want to be with two chicks, but this is not your day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow, yeah. I didn't think about that. My big thing I've been doing with Lilith is the Illusionary Forest, and the mature Niflheim has that pretty cool charge where you can dodge through terrain and intervening models and such.
Right, diving charge.
Yeah, and God, he's just been a beast. I mean, my first game playing Lilith, by the way, is I've got this. I own the Ortegas, and every time I play the Ortegas, they're my Ortegas. But Nino, I know what Nino can do. So my first thing, my first order of business, no matter what scheme I pick, Nino has to die.
Yep.
And so my first game playing Lilith, I run across the table. I was like, oh my god, she's got 9 charges. This is pretty cool. I flipped a red joker. Well, I hit, and I flipped a red joker for damage. And, you know, I was new to the game at first, you know. We're getting the hang of it, where I just got hold of the new rules manual and trying to get used to it. And a buddy of mine, Becker, goes, well, you know, you get to flip another card because you got the red joker. I was like, oh, sweet. So I flipped a 13.
Oh, red joker under severe is just brutality.
So the rest of the Ortegas looked in horror as Nino was just eviscerated by Lilith. And well, past that.
And then you still drew your card, right? So you got Bloody Fate off and drew your card.
Yep. It was a beautiful day. Instead of Lilith twisting her hair, I wish I could have some modeling skills where I could cut it and have her licking her fingers like KFC.
Nice. Now, do you run, I didn't hear you mention a totem. Or do you run a totem with them?
No, I haven't run a totem with them yet. I know they got the cherub. And I just don't own it, so I really haven't thought about it.
Okay.
Now, I know there's certain groups I wouldn't go nowhere without a totem, like Kariah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't touch the table without the lost love, that's all.
I gotta tell you, the primordial magic, the puking snake, as people call it, okay. I've been really happy with the primordial magic with Lilith. Because being, you know, Lilith has the ability to draw an extra card and then discard one in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the puking snake lets you draw another card, so you end up drawing 8 cards at the beginning of a round and discarding one down to 7.
Huh.
And that's kind of a nice little bump.
Yeah, that is, actually. Yeah, you know what? The people I'm going to be playing with are going to say, I listen to your podcast and Bill is a dick. And see, all I got to do is say, we're new and they can beat you.
See, yeah, exactly. I don't know what they're worried about. I have a horrible win. Yeah. I'm just hoping to get to, I'm hoping to redeem myself at Gen Con. I hear the competition at Gen Con, there's not a lot of new players. I hear the Gen Con tournament is going to be pretty steep from a skill level. It's the third year, I think, they're running the tournaments. And I'm hoping to make a good showing. You know, it'd be nice to actually place well in a tournament.
It does make you feel very good.
Yeah. So
now, well, a little bit off topic, but on topic. I just got a package from a company. I don't know if you've heard of them, Fiendish Fabrications.
No, I haven't.
Actually, I found these guys while I was trying to figure out how the hell to post on the weird boards, because Eric says, you know, if you're going to talk about Malifaux, why don't you put it on the weird board so everyone knows that, you know, when you do a new show. So I'm like, okay. So I'm trying to figure it out. And, you know, here I am. This is I have a degree in computer networking and computer applications. And I'm like, all right.
Now, but we got you. I have a couple of your episodes in the thread. I put a thread up in the on the Weird Boards tracking podcast that talk about Malifaux. Okay. I'm pretty sure I have a couple of your episodes up there.
Good. That means I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
That's good. But when I was doing all that, I actually came across somebody had on the Weird Boards basing ideas for Malifaux. I was like, oh, that's cool, because there is a lot of cool base inserts that Weird puts out.
Right.
But nothing was really jumping out at me for my Neverborn outside of the Victorian streets and such. So I did a search for it, and I found this company in Australia called Fiendish Fabrications. They have their own game. I'm not sure. Pretty cool figures. If you're into using alternate sculpts for Malifaux, but I think they got their own rule set. But they have 25mm, 30, 40, and 50 millimeter bases, round-shouldered bases, and they're already they're polyurethane.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they're actually detailed.
Now, what do the bases look like? The ones you picked up.
Well, I said, hey, you know, I emailed him. I was like, these are cool and stuff. I run a podcast. I'm going to pick some of these up. And he's just like, you know what? I will send them to you. He's just like, really? So he sent me the full set. They're about $9 Australian. I have no idea what that converts to in America.
Yeah, it used to be that $9 Australian was actually good for us. Now, I'm not so sure anymore.
Well, as long as it's not by the pound. The pound is never good for us.
Yeah, exactly.
But I got the Fire and Brimstone bases for my Lilith crew.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yep, they're flat slate rocks, and they have arcanic runes sculpted into them. And the rocks are splitting apart with flames coming out the middle and out the sides. And occasionally there's a hand and a body trying to crawl out and stuff.
Sweet. And it's called Fiendish Fabrications.
Yep. And I got a link to it on my site. So if you're listening to this, you're listening to Sean Hammer, you hopefully went to my site. But I'll go ahead and link you too, Bill, so you can check it out. And actually, I'll send you a base or two to check them out.
That would be sweet, yeah. See, I've been using MicroArt Studios. My Neverborn are based on the MicroArt Studios Mystic bases, I think they're called.
Okay.
So it looks like a lot of... it's like arcane ruins, right? So it's all like ruined stairs, different things like that. I got some boxes that look like they're sort of crusted up and they've been buried for years, and they all have symbols on them. And I use those for almost all of my Neverborn. The only thing I did different is I picked up some... I'm not sure if they're MicroArt Studios or not. I picked up some new bases, which are wood plank bases. Yeah. And I painted those up for my Kaladi crew, because I thought Kaladi looked a bit better, you know, with the puppets and everything on a sort of wood stage or wood floor type of base.
Okay.
But the rest of my Neverborn, Lilith, Dreamer, Pandora, wow, I have a lot of freaking Neverborn.
And when I had Eric on the website, I told him, thanks a lot, buddy, because I thought it would be okay with... They say Malifaux is cheap to get into, and it's not bad, but the minute you start playing it, you want more.
so we got to... How much do you have right now? You said you've been collecting new careers and buying new careers. What are you up to?
Let's see. For Guild, I have... the Ortegas. None of the other guild really appealed to me right now.
Okay.
Resurrectionist, Cry, soon to be a McMooring, and you can blame that on the weird base inserts. Just basically on the base inserts. Not even the crew.
Those Morgue inserts are fantastic looking, though, aren't they?
They have an Orphanage one set coming out. I have no idea what they look like.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, so the pictures are up. You got to search around, but they put the pictures up on the website.
Oh, okay.
Creepy, but fantastic.
Oh, oh my lord, because I've been trying to figure out what I'm going to do on my Colati. I was going to break up, I have some old mirror, it's like plastic sheeting. I was going to break it up and put frames so it looked like all these little dolls and puppets were coming out of Funhouse.
That's cool, but I actually really like that idea. I really like that idea.
It would look cool. It really would. And then chill out. And you word out there, make sure you paint the underside of your models.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I got a guy at the local hobby store that paints really well, but it just, you can't pick them up and look from underneath. And so the mirror models really aren't that great. But I'm going to pick up the McMorning. I have no Outcast as we speak until the shipment comes in. I have quite a lot of rats in the Hamlin box set coming in.
Wow. I would love, when you start playing Hamlin, I would love to hear feedback. I know our local players don't play Hamlin a lot because they feel that he is the only... I mean, these are guys that love Malifaux, and their feedback has been he's the only negative play experience they've seen, and that's even comparing him to Pandora.
Yeah, it's... I pick up the negativity really easy.
Yeah, I worry because there's the potential in that crew, if you don't know it well, to really appear to be slow playing or to appear, you know, like one of our local players, Dixon, he's the guy that won Adepticon this year.
Okay.
He has Hamlin, and he's played Hamlin several times, and, you know, I keep telling him. Unfortunately, with Hamlin, unlike most crews, if you try to just rush through and consolidate movements on Hamlin, it honestly looks like you're cheating if the person that's playing against you doesn't know what Hamlin's crew does. And then when you slow down to explain everything, it's so long. Because each rat does their own movement, and then they activate under companion, and they, you know, do damage to themselves, and then Hamlin and the rat catchers do this, that, and the other thing. By the time you finish explaining everything for a turn, you've spent half your game on the first turn.
Yeah, and yeah, I was going through looking at everything, and by the time you're activating stuff, taking wounds, healing, replacing them,
right,
with new rats, killing the stolen, putting them with rats, sacrificing rats, bring up the rat catcher, taking the rats. I mean, it's kind of, I like it.
Well, I think there can be a lot of fun playing it, but I think it almost puts the weight back on the Hamlin player to know their own crew well enough, not only to play it quickly or efficiently, but also be able to explain it clearly so that your opponent doesn't become overwhelmed with everything you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. When I play Hamlin, it's going to be against some experienced players.
Yeah,
I would not bring this on the table somebody who's got less than 10 games under their belt. Easy.
Well, see, and that was my that was my experience with Dreamer. My first game, I painted up my Dreamer crew in my first game with Dreamer. I'm like, you know, he's playing Sheamus. He's a new player, but you know, Choppy can't be that bad.
Let's start with the model.
You know, let me just try out some attacks. Sheamus is incredibly survivable, and I'm like, oh my god, I have to stop activating triggers. This is just bad.
He's even got a belly full of teeth, Bill. Let's see how he does.
Come on, Sean, that's just the model, right? The rules can't be matching the model, can they?
I will be honest with you. They surprisingly enough do.
Yeah.
As for a game, I always complain about Games Workshop making their characters too expensive. But they don't look a lot different than other Warhammer 40K characters or such. But the price was different.
Right.
So tell how good a character was in Games Workshop by how much the price of the model was.
Yep.
Malifaux, it depends how cool the model is. how good.
Oh, and the art that they've released for the avatars. I am so looking forward to seeing how the avatars work out.
Oh, my God. Did they release the art for the Lilith avatar?
Not yet, but they do have the little... I don't know how much you've seen on the weird boards. If you go on the weird boards and you look at their smileys...
Uh-huh.
Well, I take that back. They did put the art out. I'm looking at it now. So the Lilith art... Let me get over to the page. The new Lilith is damn sexy.
Wow.
I mean, so she has an even sexier outfit on. No more corset. Now it's just a little push-up bra, and they gave her a sickle.
She's got new weapons, huh?
Yeah, that she's holding over the back. You know, she's sort of holding it over her shoulder and down her back. Her avatar looks like she has melded with the forest. And like she's jumping out of this twisted tree trunk.
Cool.
Yeah, so, you know, if you get a chance to look on the weird boards, the art is fantastic.
I'm going to have to. Wow.
So...
Well, you know, we could keep going, and we can go into Lilu and Lilitu, but I'm gonna make people go through some of your back episodes. I believe you got some very good explanations how to use them. One of your guests on there.
Yeah. It wasn't Dan. It was Mike. His first generation awesome Mike did a lot of talking about Lilitu and Lilu with the Dreamer.
Yeah, that's sick. I got pop-ups coming up talking to you now. Seriously, baby, that's a pop-up when you listen to this at work. The boy is in the house. So we're going to go ahead and call this here. And if you'd like to hear Bill some more, I'm going to be on the Gamers Lounge in a few minutes. And we'll finish up our talk about some Neverborn there.
And as a matter of fact, I would add, you know, they should come. Because this is sort of a half-finished conversation. We have at least this much more time.
Yep.
Over on the Gamers Lounge. So go looking over there. It should be, funny enough, it should be episode, I think, 37.
Okay.
And don't be fooled by the fact the Hex Hunters from War Machine have taken over. Because, you know, I hear the Hex Hunters have taken over the next episode. But there is going to be an M&SU bar, and that'll be you and I talking more Neverborn.
Cool. And where can they find you, Bill?
GamersLounge.coda.net, and they can find me on iTunes. And I believe, Sean, if they already subscribe to you on iTunes, I'm hoping that the sexy little Gamers Lounge microphone pops up on other people who are also cool, downloaded this other episode because, you know, they didn't know any better.
And you can also link to it from Sean Hammer's site.
Exactly. So
we're going to kill our conversation here, Bill, and we'll pick this up at the MSN. Take bets, Bill.
The M&SU bar. Sounds good, Sean.
Thank you. All right.
The sauce.